Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Love this song so much. Good morning, 609 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Are you an L. King fan? I just had to ask.
Not like broadly, but a couple of the songs are quite good. Okay. I don't think I know enough of her other stuff to say. You know, some people I've gone and looked, I'm like, that was the one they had. You know, so I don't know aside from, you know, her hits, so
okay,
to speak.
She has a couple of country songs out.
Oh, so I'm going to hate it.
No, you're not. You got to give peace a chance.
All right, so question for the day. What's the purpose of the First Amendment? No, not a quiz at 6:10. Come on, that's not right. Typical answer that people give is expressive individualism so that I can have my say, so that if I believe something, I can say it. I can share it with other people. Okay, that's a low-grade answer. That's a modern answer. And
was that a D answer?
It's a C minus.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
But that's the extent of the modern American's conception of the First Amendment, is that it's there to protect me in doing what I want to do, to say all I can say and to be all I can be and whatever. And Jay Koss, who came and spoke, he's from the American Enterprise Institute, and he spoke at the Seligman Lecture Series at UWF a couple of weeks ago, and he gave a speech on the First Amendment and what was the real idea of it and what was it there for. And to recap, because John tells me that I should be recapping as we're doing this, because we're one-third of the way into this hour-and-a-half presentation, and I want you to hear this because this is big, important stuff. And you say, well, what about Iran? I know there's a lot of news, but if you don't have the backdrop right, then you know some of this stuff doesn't really matter that much. And every once in a while, you got to pause and sharpen the saw. Okay, so First Amendment. The modern view is the First Amendment, you know, worship, assembly, petition, speech, press, okay, that's there to protect your ability to do the things you want to do. And it's not that that's wrong, it's that that's only a part of the story. The real idea is that that protects actions that God built people to do, because he wants you to, for example, to evangelize. He wants you to engage in civil society. He wants you to worship him. And therefore, you need to be able to do these things freely, not through compulsion, and also that these are essential human actions to fulfill the telos, or purpose, that God had in mind for human beings. Whereas, in comparison, some of the later amendments, you know, the 4th, the 8th, the 5th, have to do with protecting you against government taking your property, things that you own, either before the trial, 4th Amendment, during the trial, 5th Amendment, or after the trial, 8th Amendment. And so it's about the doing of being a human that the First Amendment is there to protect. And not just so that you can have your say, but so that we can really fulfill the purpose that God had in building us, and that this was essentially the concept of the day. This is what, whether they were deists or Christians or anything else, even, you know, rationalists like Jefferson, who's not really much of a God person at all, this was the idea they had of humanity, and this is what the Constitution and particularly the Bill of Rights was built around. So he's, again, is a great speech, and I just want to get you caught up to where we are so far. So now he's going to talk about what Madison, like, why do we have the First Amendment? What is the purpose of it?
In that newspaper, the National Gazette, Madison argued, whatever facilitates a general intercourse of sentiments, as good roads, domestic commerce, a free press, and particularly a circulation of newspapers through the entire body of the people, that, he says, is favorable to liberty. And that's a big... there's a bigger idea with Madison that Madison's working with here. And you think about, what does popular sovereignty mean? It means we the people govern. Well, we the people have to be made an effective and good and wise sovereign. And you know, dealing, diversifying, you know, making sure that the Anglicans can't dominate the Baptists, you know, is we need to do that. But we also need to make sure that the people actually know what's going on so that they can use their democratic leverage to make sure the government is doing what it's supposed to be doing.
That idea that, think about a king. If you were training a king to rule a nation, right? Think of a monarchy that we had broken away from. In a monarchy, what do you have to have for the king? Well, the king has to be trained how to think well, effectively, to be smart, to be logical, to be persuasive, to be magnanimous, to have certain virtues, to understand politics and philosophy and theology. That's the one side. That's like the human preparation of a good king. And then on the practical side, the king also has to understand how farms work and how trade works and economics and, you know, psychology and marriage and law and crime. And, right, you know, they need to have both the sort of the philosophical side, the training as a leader, and then also the practical side of understanding what's going on. Well, the newspapers were that practical side, but also the other side through education. And what he's getting at is that if we're going to govern, we're all kings of a sort. And so we all have to learn and be trained in virtues and theology and ethics and religion and politics. But we also need to be trained in how things work in the real world, at least enough to an extent, and through newspapers, what's going on in the world and in government, so that we are informed about the day-to-day affairs so that we can govern those who legislate on our behalf effectively. That's through the newspapers, freedom of the press.
And the way you do that, Madison was getting at, the way you get people to exercise their sovereignty effectively is they have to start talking with one another. They have to keep check with one another so that they can learn what's going on. And also, from Madison's view, those small-minded factional views can be enlarged. You probably had this experience in your life. You probably had conversations with people. You walked in thinking one thing and another person is thinking another, and you disagreed at first, but then you talked, you realized, like, oh, he kind of had a point. And the other person's like, well, you kind of have a point. And you end up just kind of, your views just kind of enlarge.
When we're talking with each other across our differences, we learn to respect each other more. We learn to understand each other more. I know those of you who have ever dipped your toe or more into social media wonder if this is true anymore. But that's at least the idea of communication, is that we broaden and we kind of moderate. You know, the radical impulses are kind of blunted by us hanging out with people who disagree with those radical impulses, who will be reasonable and then make us realize, oh, you know, maybe that idea that me and my three friends at midnight when we were high came up with isn't the best idea. Maybe there's some other ways to look at this. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free, even delay-free. I-10, I-110, 29, 90, 98. All look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
So back to this speech by Jay Cost at the University of West Florida, the Seligman Lecture Series on the First Amendment. Speech is there. Protection in speech in the First Amendment is there so that we can govern, so that we can be informed. Also, of course, so that we can worship God so that freely, you know, according to the dictates of our own conscience. Also, to prevent one faction or one sect of Christianity from dominating the others and pushing them out. That's why Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof, keeps them out and keeps us protected and able to do whatever we want to do. But there's another element of the First Amendment and press and petition and assembly that's designed to protect us from being abused by government, because government is a source of power. And so the bad people will always seek power.
There are inevitable forces. The founders really believe this. Inevitable forces that endanger republics. And that is baked into the cake of early American political thought. I mean, go all the way back to because they were all schooled on the stories of the Roman Republic. They knew that. They knew that like the back of their hand. They knew those classical stories.
And they very much wanted to avoid having the problems of Rome. They wanted to avoid the collapse into monarchy or Caesarship. They wanted to avoid the decadence that comes historically from democracy. There's this pattern you see historically that is always followed, and we're trying to avoid that. So how do we avoid it? Well, one way is by facilitating communication, and, you know, communicating with other people tends to moderate us and tends to avoid prejudice and tends to create a civil society that is a fabric of people who might not agree with each other, but don't disagree with each other too vehemently.
And Montesquieu, who was a French philosopher, wrote a book called The Spirit of the Laws, hugely influential in America, hugely influential. Montesquieu picks up on this idea, and he argues that commerce improves the moral sense. Not because people are making money, but because people are talking with each other. Montesquieu writes, commerce cures destructive prejudices. And it is an almost general rule that everywhere there are gentle mores, there is commerce. And that everywhere there is commerce, there are gentle mores. Right? This idea that, like, as we start engaging with each other, what Madison would call an intercourse of sentiments, is actually can improve morality itself.
Now, I know some of the language is a little bit, I don't know, flowery, but what he's talking about is doing business with people. And how many times have you heard me say, and if you listen to the show a lot, you have, and if you don't listen to the show a lot or you're new to the show, you haven't, but how many, you know, those of you who know, I have talked about capitalism so many times as a form of protecting individual rights to have different religions or different politics or different lifestyles even, and that you judge people on the basis of the product or the service they provide, not on the basis of them being gay and providing the service or them being Protestant and providing the service. And capitalism has a way of forcing you, or at least allowing you the opportunity to engage in transactions with people for money, labor, products, services, in order to, you learn that people are different. You know, you might think that the best car that you can buy comes from the Muslim, and you buy the best car from the Muslim, but it winds up that you meet the Muslim, you know, or it winds up that you meet the Jew or the atheist or the Catholic or whatever. And in the process, what's supposed to happen is that you learn that, okay, I think they're wrong, I think I'm right, but I kind of like them, you know, I kind of see them as people. They're part of this community. And so that's that, you know, moderation of mores, having a kind of a less extreme vision of everything and prejudice. And, of course, now in the modern, like the last 20 years, we've turned that entirely on its head, where now we're actively seeking to punish people who engage in commerce and don't have the right values that we believe in cancel culture. Cancel culture from the right, how dare you not celebrate Christmas the way I want you to. Cancel culture from the left, all the things, you know, but the idea is, instead of celebrating the fact that we can engage in friendly interchange of goods and services, that you are treating me like a friend, because that's what you do. You pay somebody to act like your friend. You know, a friend might give you a haircut for free, but for a stranger, you have to pay them. Well, that's commerce. You're incentivizing them to behave like they like you. And in the process, you're supposed to not care about their politics. You're supposed to not care about their religion or any of the other things that divide us. You're supposed to care about the product, and you kind of get to know them, and then it works out well. We've, again, turned that on our head, where now we're punishing people. We're saying, boycott them. They're not saying the right things. They're not being the right kind of humans. They're not expressing the right kind of values. They're not, you know, against climate change or against the testing of animals or against, you know, slave labor or child labor, or, you know, on the right, you know, they don't have the right view of marriage. They don't have the right view of the Bible. They don't say amen. You know, they don't say God bless you. They say Gesundheit, whatever. You know, okay. That's not how it's supposed to work. This interchange through commerce and speech is supposed to moderate us instead of extremize us. So he's going to go back. Jay Cox is going to go back and give a kind of a summary of the First Amendment, what it is, how it's different from some of the others, and why it's there. Not just to protect your feeling that you want to say a thing, but to protect this project of a country that is supposed to fulfill the prospects of human existence that God intended when he made us.
So I've argued here that the First Amendment is distinctive among the Bill of Rights. The other amendments, at least 4 through 8, protect what we have, life, liberty, property, right? The First Amendment, it does that. I'm not saying that it doesn't. But what I'm also suggesting to you is it protects what we do. It protects activities directed towards ends. That makes it teleological. And it protects ends that the founders would have argued is essential to human happiness, right? We are worshipful beings with duties to God that no magistrate may obstruct. Our rights flow from those duties. We are citizens of a fragile republic, and if we want to maintain the benefits of this republic, we have a civic duty, not a religious duty, we have a civic duty to watch, to be almost vigilant was the phrase that was used, to communicate.
That's press.
To check the natural and inevitable encroachments of power against liberty. And the intercourse of sentiments is not a luxury. It is not simply a manifestation of our self-actualization that we get to post things on Instagram, right? Like, it makes me feel like a more complete person. I mean, that's certainly one purpose of the First Amendment, but the First Amendment is also there because we have to be able to keep an eye on things.
You know, this is going to sound over the top, but I think you've kind of heard enough to get what I mean when I say this, is that properly understood, when you engage in civil debate and discourse with other people and disagreement about ideas, you're protecting the country. If you do it well, it's national defense, not of the sort with bombs and bullets, but of the sort that perpetuates what we are as a country. And when you don't engage in civil discourse, or when you do it poorly or troll online, you're attacking the republic. You're acting contrary to the interests of the nation and our history and our future.
And finally, we are improvable beings. Our capacity for moral, intellectual, and even religious advancement, at least according to some, is potentially limitless. Others would disagree. Madison would not have gone nearly as far as Condorcet, but certainly agreed that we can be better, and that one way to be better is for the mind to be free, to inquire, to exchange ideas, and to refine their existing commitments. And again, these three commitments are not in tension with one another. They really hang together.
Absolutely. And so, you know, what's your duty as a person, in as an American? Well, to vote, obviously. To pay attention to politics, obviously. To be able to vote well. To develop your own virtue. To know about the world. To understand your fellow human being. But to engage in worship. To engage in civil discourse. To watch and look for opportunities to improve your neighborhood. To improve your community. To serve your fellow man. To make this place better. Those are all moral obligations. And when you do things that are contrary to that, you're robbing from the community. You're robbing from God's plan for humanity, and you are essentially damaging the republic. I mean, this is not little stuff that he's talking about. This is huge, important stuff.
Freedom of the mind is not simply a right to be left alone. It is a freedom for something. The mind has work to do. It has to worship. It has to watch the polity. It has to improve. This sort of purpose-driven horizon is largely absent from contemporary discourse about our rights. The new sort of worldview of expressive individualism certainly has roots in this framework, but it's different. And we've inherited the freedoms, but not necessarily the intellectual framework that gave them their deepest meanings.
Yeah, the late-night guy on Cops, I know my rights! Well, yeah, okay, but you're kind of missing the big picture. And we've inherited the sort of self-oriented, leave me alone, it's my right to do things, and we haven't as much inherited the global picture of what all of this is for, why it's there, how it produces human happiness, and what God has in mind in protecting us in these things that he wants us to do. We'll come back to this at 7 o'clock, but like I said, I know it's a Thursday. I know you're like, I didn't wake up to get a lecture. Yeah, but you're getting it anyway. Because you need it every once in a while. We need it. We all need to be reminded of this stuff. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you or delays. Looks like everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
And huge credit to UWF for doing this and doing this routinely through the Seligman Lecture Series. It's fantastic stuff. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are there for you. They sold 209 homes last year. So, you know, okay, as in the most homes that any team is selling here in this area, most residential transactions. And not just most, but they have figured it out. So if it's staging it, if it's photographing, if it's listing, it's the price, it's the open house, it's the follow-up, it's then working your way all the way through to closing. And I know that, well, doesn't every realtor do that? Yeah, but, you know, they don't all get the same level of results. And they just have figured out this system. I know Christina, I know her dedication to people, helping people achieve their goals in life and listening to them when they tell her what's going on so she can really help that. And sometimes that means telling them not to move. She's told them that. You know, it doesn't happen that often, but it's good to know that that's available. Realtor says no, yeah, sometimes. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbieri Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
You've probably heard all those ads for life insurance. Just a few dollars a day, apply online in minutes, no medical exam. Simple, easy, and cheap, right? Now you're thinking, maybe I should get a quote. Well, smart thinking. Everyone should have life insurance. But here's what they don't tell you. Those few dollars a day rates, they're for young people in perfect health. That's why everyone calls Big Lou the 50 to 60-year-old not-so-perfect candidate. Like you. You take prescription meds and you're overweight. Winner, winner, fried chicken dinner. Well, Big Lou works with life insurance companies that want people like you with no surprises after you apply. In fact, if you're a 50-year-old guy with a few health glitches, Lou could probably find you $1 million of term life coverage for about $200 a month. So, yeah, you need life insurance. But unless you're young and healthy, you gotta call Big Lou, because he's like you, older, heavier, and on meds, too. Get a quote right now at 800-230-2777, 800-230-2777, or biglou.com.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola right now
with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Absolutely. 6:30. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Senate Republicans have stopped another effort to curtail President Trump's war powers. A vote to take up the measure failed 52 to 47. It was the fourth Democrat-led effort to curb the authority of the president to conduct a war on Iran.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. What's the newest, dumbest thing Joy Behar has said? I'll tell you coming up next. Around.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi.
Turn around and prepare to be boarded. If you do not comply with this blockade, we will use force.
CENTCOM releasing audio of U.S. Navy warnings to commercial ships trying to transit the Strait of Hormuz. The Pentagon is going to give its first update since the blockade next hour. As Fox's Trey Yinks says, there's some new hope for peace between Israel and Lebanon.
Israeli sources telling Fox News they believe that talks between Israel and Lebanon could lead to Lebanon joining the Abraham Accords. As Israeli ground forces continue to operate in southern Lebanon, Hezbollah is still firing rockets and drones over the border.
The Trump administration investigating the deaths and disappearances of a group of scientists.
Many of these scientists were researching UFOs or nuclear power and have either died or mysteriously disappeared since mid-2023.
Fox's Chanley Painter, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 62 right now. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning, and of course we've got our full forecast from Channel 3 up in just a few minutes. Pensacola man found not guilty by reason of insanity in a 2014 stabbing involving the death of Angela Cook is now headed back to the Florida State Hospital after attacking mental health clinicians. Matthew Warren had been living in Tallahassee since August of 2024 after his mental health had improved enough to leave state hospital care. But early April, he reportedly rapidly deteriorated, threatened to kill staff, and then physically attacked a clinician. A judge ordered Warren to be recommitted for at least 6 months. The city of Pensacola is applying for a demolition permit for the Pensacola Motor Lodge as negotiations continue with affordable housing developer Paces Preservation Partners on a land sale. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the permit would clear the way for the sale, but the building wouldn't come down until the deal closes, at least unless the CRA were to vote to demolish it sooner. Paces is proposing a 72-unit affordable housing development at the site with units that would serve residents at income levels between 30 and 80% of the area median income. Now, Escambia County Commissioners, the Pensacola City Council, and Mayor D.C. Reeves are holding a joint workshop meeting this morning starting at 9 a.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center. The meeting will focus on the future of the Bay Center with presentations from Legends Global and WT Partnership on potential renovation plans and a convention center analysis. No public comment will be taken at the meeting as it is a workshop only. The Andrews Institute and Baptist Healthcare hosted their inaugural student scholarship luncheon, recognizing outstanding students in the University of West Florida's Master of Science in Athletic Training program. Six students were honored for academic excellence at that event. And that included T.J. Hardiman, Kate Joyce, Tara Mercy, Jessica Pratt, Bryce Booker, and Skylar Hawley. The scholarship reflects an ongoing partnership between the Andrews Institute, Baptist Healthcare, and UWF to advance athletic training education. A Century man is headed to federal prison after investigators say they found illegal weapons and explosives at his home. 27-year-old Joshua Dean Hardy was sentenced to 4 years behind bars on multiple federal firearms charges. According to court records, Hardy was already under investigation after deputies found an unregistered silencer during a traffic stop in 2023. Authorities say that investigation expanded in July of 2025 when Hardy accidentally shot himself in the leg on his own property. A search of his home uncovered another unregistered silencer, homemade explosives, and a firearm that had the serial number removed. Well, Governor DeSantis is delaying the special session he called from April 20th until April 28th. That session will now also cover artificial intelligence and vaccine exemptions in addition to congressional redistricting. The governor wants lawmakers to pass an AI Bill of Rights and expand vaccine exemptions for school districts. The session would wrap up no later than May 1st. It is 6:35, and let's check in with John, who's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you, but if you're on 98 eastbound, just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge, we're seeing just some minor delays right there. But other than that, I'm not seeing anything else. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be looking at some beautiful sunny skies today. Temperatures will warm up into the upper 70s and low 80s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the 60s. Heading into Friday, mostly sunny skies, high near 81. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Going into Saturday, sunny skies again, high near 82. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it's partly cloudy. We've got 62 degrees. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. U.S. Treasury yields were mixed this morning as investors awaited the latest jobless claims data amid ongoing uncertainty over the impact of the Middle East war. The yield on the 10-year U.S. Treasury note was largely unchanged at 4.2835% in early dealmaking. Oil prices are slightly up this morning as investors doubt U.S. and Iran peace talks will ease the Strait of Hormuz disruption. West Texas Intermediate hovering at nearly $92 per barrel, Brent at roughly $96. Pepsi has recorded quarterly earnings and revenue that topped analysts' expectations as its struggling North American food business reported a return to volume growth. Revenue came in at nearly $19.5 billion versus the roughly $18.9 billion expected. Net sales also rose 8.5%. Futures are slightly higher ahead of jobless claims data later this morning. On Tuesday, the Dow Industrials dropped 72, the NASDAQ up 376. That's Your Money Now.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ZipRecruiter.
Hey, all the way.
Hey, all the way.
The Pensacola Navy Days 4K, presented by Baptist Healthcare, is Saturday, May 9th. This fun run starts at Plaza de Luna, runs up Palafox along Bayfront to Veterans Park, and back to Plaza de Luna. Registrants receive a commemorative Pensacola Navy Days medal and race shirt. You can run or walk, and when you return to Plaza de Luna, you can celebrate with a beverage and stick around for the Family Fun Fest. Register now at PensacolaNavyDays.org. That's PensacolaNavyDays.org.
Hey, all the way.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Spring shows up quietly around here. A little more daylight. Warmer afternoons. A lot going on locally. News Radio 92.3 keeps you connected to it all with the stories, updates, and conversations that shape your day.
Stay informed, staying connected.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
New season, same trusted source.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Before the break that we were going to dig into some Joy Behar this morning. Sorry. I know. It's not nice. But, okay. You remember the Jesus, Trump, Dr. AI?
Dr. Quinn, medicine man.
Yeah, Dr. Quinn, medicine Trump. So, they were talking about that photo. All right? And the voice you're going to hear are going to be, of course, Joy Behar, the pleasure that she is. And then you're going to hear some Sarah Haynes and you're going to hear some Sonny Hostin. But just, well, I don't know what else to prepare you for. Here goes. This is The View.
Concerned by, yeah, but Jesus really himself did not run around saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah.
Jesus kind of did say he was the Messiah. Supposed to have a-
just let it sink in for a second. You know, Jesus didn't go around saying he's the Messiah. Now, it's worth mentioning, just for context, Joy Behar is Jews. She's Jewish, okay? So she may not be the foremost expert on Jesus, but okay. But one more time, please, and then the follow-up. John, how you doing? You
doing? I'm doing fine.
It's amazing. Look at
it
that.
It is.
Look at that sky that's green. See how gravity pushes rocks up?
Uh-huh. Right up.
Yeah. The Pope is most definitely Eastern Orthodox.
Oh, I thought he's Baptist.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah in Joy Behar's world.
Concerned, yeah, by, but Jesus really himself did not run around saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the Messiah.
Jesus kind of did say he was the Messiah.
You're supposed to have a little bit of...
Well, that's exactly what Jesus said. I am the Messiah.
You know what?
No, he did not.
Jesus was more modest than that, she's saying.
Wow.
No, he did not.
It's Jesus
been
a minute.
Since
the Pope's got him. Okay? He's got God.
She just said, I knew Jesus.
Jesus was not narcissistic like this guy.
And but when way, you are the Messiah, it's not narcissism to say it.
Yes, it is.
When you are the Messiah.
I'm going to move this along because this is like, it's too much for me.
It's not Jesus.
I just, you know. When somebody says something like that, you just kind of want to pause.
Look at them.
Now, I know you're Jewish, okay? And I know you may not have read the actual New Testament, which is
like,
fine.
There's
it's
another
not a
part.
Holy book for you. I get it. But can I draw your attention to a couple of these passages?
Oh, my God.
Where he literally said, I am the Messiah. You have said it. And the whole thing cannot be understood except as him coming and showing himself as the Messiah. Well, you know, he didn't brag about it. Well, You know, like Sarah Haynes said, it's not bragging if you done did it. You know, it's it just anyway. So
you done did it.
It's just such an amazing thing. I had to share that with you this morning. 437-1620. But remember, there's no level of ignorance about any subject matter that some human somewhere isn't capable of exceeding. Just always remember the people who were upset that the new 3-mile bridge, when it was only the one span, that, oh my God, it's not even any better than the old bridge because we got to drive past each other with these problems. Well, there's going to be two spans, you know, and they didn't know that. And that's the point, is people don't know. And that's why we, back to the First Amendment, that's why we have to have, John's favorite expression of the day, sentimental intercourse. We have to share our ideas with each other. Somebody texted in, so the founders believed in sentimental intercourse. You know what? Okay. Yeah, but what they meant was the... Anyway, I know where your head's at. But yeah, we got to talk to each other. We got to have newspapers. We got to educate people. When they make stupid comments like this, you have to teach them. In other news, we have... The special session has finally been clarified. Governor DeSantis back in January said that we're going to have a special session no later than next Friday, starting on Monday. And now he's clarified that we are going to have the special session to do congressional districts and to do parental rights and to do related to social media and to do AI and to protect us from AI and to do medical freedom. Michelle Salzman posted on her Facebook page the 2-page announcement of the various things that are going to be coming in the special session. So it's a little bit of an everything here.
Do we have a budget yet?
Oh, why would we need that?
With all this other things, I mean...
Well, that can wait. The budget can wait. It's not like it's that important. It's not like it's the one thing that the legislature is obligated to do every year.
Exactly.
Nope, that's not part of this.
Okay.
This is a different special session. Protecting Floridians from the dangers of artificial intelligence, including an AI Bill of Rights for Floridians, creating as necessary public records exemptions related to investigations of alleged artificial intelligence harms, and medical freedom, similar to Senate Bill 1756. So he's calling that. Those are the specifics, but baked into the whereases was some of the other stuff related to, you know, parents' Bill of Rights and, you know, the COVID-19 stuff, medical freedom. And so, you know, no, not in congressional districts. So, no, not yet on the budget.
Okay.
That'll be another special additional session. I mean, they could just be in session all year this year.
Might as well.
All right. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you, nor delays. Everything is rolling smoothly on I-10, I-110, Highway 90. 29, not seeing anything to slow you down. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Somebody has been recommending that I watch somebody I'd never heard of before. Jefferson Fisher, I think is the guy's name. And I looked up a couple of his videos. It's good stuff. I mean, he's, you know, how to deal with difficult, obnoxious, you know, people. Andrew McKay. How to handle people and all kinds of stuff. And I was just reading one of his favorite pieces of advice is when somebody's ranting, you allow them to finish when they're done. You look at them in complete silence for 5 seconds and then say, are you okay?
Oh, that's perfect, though.
Just wait, you know, after that.
Are you okay, Andrew?
I am, John. Okay. Perfectly
I'm
fine.
Just checking on
everything's
you.
Good. No worries. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has a great selection of good quality used cars, 300 on the lot. So 300 cars that are in the like 1 to 4 years young category, you're going to be the second, possibly the third owner. They're cars that have been, you know, treated well. They warranty them to 100,000 miles or 10 years, whichever comes first. And the idea there is they know they're selling you a good car, so they can afford to stand behind them because they know they're selling you a good car. And they don't mind if there's a problem. I mean, they do mind. They want it to be good, but they don't mind finding out. You know, they want to find out. They want you to be happy. Like, they'll call you or... I can't promise they'll call you. I can promise you that they did call me 6 months after I bought the Honda Odyssey and a year after to check and see and make sure the car's okay. A used car dealer called me a year later and for free replaced one of the keys that wasn't working a year after I bought the car. Because they want you to be happy. They go way beyond what you expect from a normal used car place so that you will come back again and again and again because, man, that's how I want to be treated. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
It's the 26th Annual Crawfish Festival this weekend at Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk. Come out and kick off your Saturday morning with the Crawfish 5K at 8, Kids Crawfish Race later that afternoon, and fireworks at 8 on Saturday night. Performing live, we'll have Colleen Sexton, Jared McConnell and the High Aces, Bangarang Peter, Tyler Livingston and the Absolutes, the Oliver Twist Band, and so many other great bands all weekend long. You'll want to stop by and visit all the local artists in between all the fun. Visit PensacolaBeachCrawfishFestival.com for more details.
The Big Bamboo!
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
You're despicable.
You like that part, don't you,
so
Jen?
That's where you got it from.
You know, one of the things I like in listening to, watching new TV shows or watching movies is I like catching the songs that people are listening to. And, you know, it's amazing some of the obscure stuff that they grab. And then I go listen. I'm like, Blackpink, oh, that's pretty good. I like that. We can use that. All right. Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, fresh off their historic 10-day flight around the moon, the crew of Artemis II is holding a news conference later today from the Johnson Space Center in Houston. Astronauts Reid Wiseman, Victor Glover, Christina Cook, and the Canadian Space Agency's Jeremy Hansen will take questions, and that'll happen at 1:30 this afternoon. Three people are dead in another U.S. strike on an alleged drug-smuggling boat in the Eastern Pacific. The U.S. Southern Command announced on social media that it targeted a boat in the Pacific Ocean yesterday that it says was smuggling narcotics. And President Trump is in Las Vegas today to talk about tax breaks from the Big Beautiful Bill. He'll be at the AC Hotel in Las Vegas, and he's expected to hear from people who have benefited from the no tax on tips and overtime provisions in the bill.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. City Gulf Breeze and the city council meeting was talking about a problem that, you know, if you don't live in Gulf Breeze, you might not be aware is a problem, but certainly it is. Right at the intersection of, you know, the Shoreline Drive where that comes up around the high school and it becomes Daniel Street if you go left. If you go right behind the Gulf Winds, it stays Shoreline and goes up to 98. That's where the overpass was going to go to connect to the Publix. That is not happening anymore because the governor vetoed that. And if you go right, you go to Maccabee Street. Maccabee is the one that goes behind, like, Harbor Town and Bahama Bay and then between there. And then it drops out on the other side over by 399 by the Pensacola Beach sign. Okay, the geography here is important. Right at that intersection, the kind of four-way-ish, right by the southeastern corner of the parking lot, the multi-use path kind of ends, and the question is, well, how can they continue? And we've talked about this with Sam Abel and also with Lisa Newell, but I wanted you to have a better idea what the plan is. There's a retention pond right there, and apparently it's not particularly safe for people to walk on the southern side of the retention pond, but that's what they do. And you have people driving golf carts there, and you have people, you know, riding their bikes there. And so trying to solve the problem of extending the multi-use path, connecting it with other things like the one out on 98 potentially, but also remedying the safety issues created by people kind of misusing that retention pond. This is Craig Chamberlain. He's the neighborhood services coordinator talking about some of this stuff at the council meeting.
Thank you, Mayor. And so the request this evening is for council to authorize staff to issue an invitation to bid for the multi-use path phase two. And so this has been several years in the making since the completion of our multi-use path phase one. The idea was always bring the pathway down to 98 and have it connect into some of the future projects that FDOT is currently working on. And so that aligns with our longstanding initiative to expand and enhance the Fairpoint Shoreline multi-use pathway and create that safe and efficient alternative transportation network throughout the city.
So they're going out to bid. Part of the issue is it's not clear because of what FDOT has done which way the multi-use path is going to connect to 98. Is it going to go up Shoreline like the original plan to connect with the overpass? Is it going to go through Maccabee, like right through the middle of where those trees are? Is one plan, and that actually plan makes an awful lot of sense. And then how is it going to get around the retention pond, and how is it going to get across 399 eventually when it pops out on the other side?
And so this segment extends the pathway and the pedestrian sidewalk from Tall Pine Trail down past the stormwater pond into Maccabee and kind of puts it, allows us to cross the road there and connect to the Maccabee intersection and some of the stuff around Gulflands, but kind of puts it on a hold pattern awaiting some of the FDOT final designs to bring us down to 98, whether that's connecting into a future multimodal overpass or a future sun trail along the 98 corridor.
So what they're going to do, the bid project here, is solving that safety slash connectivity mobility issue around that little retention, it's not a little, but around that retention pond. They're going to do a boardwalk on the street side that you can drive a cart on, and then they're going to kind of sculpt the backside and make that safer for people to use on the tree side of the retention pond.
This will also include a bridge over the stormwater pond at the intersection of Shoreline and Daniel. And so throughout the design, we looked at many options on how to get the 10-foot multi-use pathway and the 5-foot pedestrian sidewalk across that area and maintain ADA compliance and stay out of the wetlands and stay out of the numerous utilities that are in there.
Yeah, so it's a great project. This is this kind of next step, which is fixing the safety and connectivity issues around that retention pond without yet committing to where we go after that to try to connect it up with Highway 98 or to 399, which pathway they're going to go, which is kind of waiting on FDOT to figure out what they want to do because they're in a review process for 98 right now. So anyway, we'll come back to this in a second because there's a couple other pieces here I want you to know about. Like I said, I know not necessarily for everybody, but if you live in Gulf Breeze, and our city of license is Gulf Breeze, so we care a lot about these things, I want you to understand what the city council is doing in this area. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Sorry, no accidents to report to you, but if you're on 98 eastbound right around the Windhaven Beach area, expect maybe a 3 to 4 minute delay, and that's the only one I'm seeing right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to Craig Chamberlain talking about what the renovations are planned to be, what the bid, you know, they're going out to bid for the work to be done around the retention pond. Again, this is right at the intersection of Shoreline, Daniel, the high school, Maccabee, and, that big retention pond that people walk through and around and on the side of, and it's not particularly safe, but we're trying to figure out what to do with that. So the plan is,
what we landed on is the most efficient route is a prefabricated bridge that'll essentially hug along the inside of the road and be in a cantilever position
like a boardwalk
over the stormwater pond. As part of that, it'll also include regrading the stormwater pond back to its original permitted design intent, reestablishing the stabilization and overflow berm along the south, and extensive landscaping and kind of making that a sense of place and a beautification plan similar to what you saw in the stormwater pond over in Pensacola.
And by the way, that's extensive, not expensive. I mean, it is expensive, but he's talking about extensive work. And also explaining that the Highway 98 overpass that, you know, had been in last year's budget then got vetoed by the governor, that is completely on hold and is not expected to be done at all now. The other part of the conversation that was particularly interesting is, you know, Highway 98 is 6 lanes, and then it's 4 lanes, and then it's 6 lanes again now, right? They're getting toward the end of the 6-lane expansion through Midway and Tiger Point. Well, you got a choke point in Naval Live Oaks where it's only 4 lanes, and everybody knows that sucks, and the speed limit is low, and it's frustrating, but it's federal land, so, you know, what can you do? Well, is it ever going to expand?
My question would be, are they looking to relane the Naval Oaks?
Yes, 6-lane.
Okay, so if they're looking at that, they have no choice but to look at the elephant, which is the 399 intersection.
That is on the list no matter what. Yeah.
That is on the list, he said. That is, and we had talked about this last week a little bit with Lisa Newell, but I had finally gotten around to watching the meeting or listening to the meeting. And, yeah, six laning of Naval Live Oaks is something they're going to do. And, John, you're a Santa Rosa County resident. You don't live in Gulf Breeze. You live in Milton. But if you do six lane through the eastern portion, what are you going to have to do at the interchange of 399 and 98 where the Sailfish sign is?
They're going to have to make it bigger.
You can't have the existing overpass there with a six-lane road.
And then, yeah.
It's not, it's impossible, which
that
means
will be a choke point.
You're going to have to, I mean, there's no point in making it be six lanes, and then for, 300 feet, it's four lanes, and then after that, it's six lanes again. So they're going to have to completely reconstruct that. Mm-hmm. And you remember there was a plan to do a roundabout there? The roundabout is not in consideration anymore. It will not work.
Good.
So just to clarify, the roundabout is no longer on the table for the 399 and 98 intersection.
Yeah.
And so that was...
you the one that brought it up?
So that is what our what the city's engineers and consultants had recommended early on in the process. Right. But the more we looked at it and the more we studied and did traffic analysis, the department engineers presented some alternative options.
The roundabout blocked.
It's multi-flyers.
Right. I don't know if y'all did not mince words.
So don't yell roundabout in a crowded city council meeting. There's the roundabout's not happening, but if six laning of Naval Live Oaks Highway 98 is coming, there's going to be massive renovation at the interchange of 399 and 98 at the overpass flyover Sailfish sign vicinity. So interesting stuff coming to Gulf Breeze sometime soon.